Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Lord Geoffrey Archer, good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Coronation Day. Do you have your Union Jack bunting up?
No, but I was sitting watching before you interrupted me.
watching on television, I note. Did you not get
indeed.
Nod, no? As a peer or a lord or...
The Duke of Somerset didn't get the nod, so the poor Lord of Weston-super-Mare was unlikely to.
Okay. So your thoughts today?
Sorry?
Your thoughts today? Is this an emotional day
for people in the UK? I'm so old at 83 that I can remember the Queen having her coronation being crowned. I was only a child at the time, but I saw it on television in black and white. And so watching it today, here we are, whatever it is, 74, 75 years later, whenever it is, quite remarkable. It's strange in this modern world. It looks slightly dated, but still magnificent. And I think it is true to say that no one else quite does it like that.
Yeah. When you say slightly dated, I suppose it does bring up the question of, it has put a focus on, is all of this stuff, does it still have a place in the modern world, doesn't it?
Well, the young will decide that, not an old fogey like me. I'm enjoying it, but I confess that when I watched the crowds yesterday when the King did the walkabout with the Prince of Wales, there weren't many young people there, and I suspect this... It could be very different in 20 years' time. Very, very different.
Yeah. I presume they're gonna slip in Kate and William sooner rather than later, I wonder. Listen, the new Queen...
What do you mean by sooner rather than later?
They might find a way to manage succession. The popes have started doing it, so who knows?
No, they won't. This is Britain. The king will survive until he dies, and then the prince will follow and become king. Get back in your basket.
Okay, well, maybe they'll feel the need to modernise. Get back in your basket, Paddy. Is that what you're saying to me, Geoffrey? Be careful now. Remember where you are today, Lord so-called Archer. Listen.
No, I wouldn't.
I know the new Queen Camilla is a friend of yours.
Yes,
indeed. And I suppose today is the culmination of an extraordinary journey to acceptance for her, isn't it?
Yes, I quite agree with you. When they were married, 15, 20 years ago, I actually said to Mary, she will become queen. And nobody agreed with me, because I knew people would grow to like her. She's a very nice human being, and she's a giver. So it frankly doesn't surprise me to see her being crowned today. And clearly, it was important that Her Majesty the Queen lived to a great age, because she was the one who could have sanctioned it or stopped it. And towards the end of the Queen's life, it was clear she too was a great admirer of Camilla.
So did it take the Queen time to come around as well? And did that also give the UK time to come around, do you think?
Well, I don't know, because I've no idea what the Queen really felt. But it was clear when she announced that she would be Queen Consort, that for me was the sign that the Queen had accepted that Camilla could be the Queen.
Yeah, and she did make that very, very clear. You know, there is a suggestion that this was all a very carefully orchestrated strategy by Charles and by Camilla, and obviously Harry has implied very much that he was one of the people thrown under the bus in this very careful strategy.
I think there's no doubt that the King always wanted Camilla to be Queen. There's no doubt that over the many years leading up to this, that grew, how can I put it, more credible and more sensible almost as each year passed. I think if the Queen had died 10 years earlier, it could have been very different, because the British public still have immense affection for Princess Diana, and it's taken a big distance of time to completely, which hasn't happened, completely remove that, which hasn't happened.
And of course, you were friends with Diana. Is she on your mind today?
Well, very much. I was thinking this morning, she'd be 60 now, 55, 60. What a beautiful woman she'd be. I miss her, and she would have been remarkable. She'd have been, if that had been the way it had ended, she'd have been the most remarkable queen.
Okay, guys, do we have a bit? Yeah, Geoffrey, stay with us there. We're just going to take a bit of the feed from Westminster.
Of the Church of England and the doctrine, worship, discipline and government thereof, as by law established in England. And will you preserve unto the bishops and clergy of England and to the churches there committed to their charge all such rights and privileges as by law do or
so
shall
Charles
appertain
has his,
to them
famous fingers on the Bible now, and he's kneeling.
All this I promise to do. The things which I have here before promised, I will perform and keep, so help me God.
The king kisses the Bible and replaces it on the kneeler.
Your Majesty.
Okay, so that was one of many significant moments. Geoffrey, do you know about the oil that is being used to anoint Charles?
Well, I don't know what you mean by do I know about the oil. It's,
okay,
of course, the private ceremony where we are not allowed to see,
yes,
the new king being anointed. That is the one moment in the ceremony that the general public will not be allowed to watch.
Yes, I think behind a gauze, because I suppose it is the most, if you want, mystical and ancient kind of part of this, isn't it? But I will give you a nice piece of trivia that you can use when you're having your, what's it called tomorrow, the big lunch tomorrow, when you're having your shepherd's pie party for the big lunch. So King Charles is being anointed with oil from the olive groves of a Russian Orthodox monastery on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. It is where Jesus began the way of the cross, of course.
I didn't know that.
Yes, because part of it is that his grandmother, Princess Alice of Greece, we forget,
yes,
you see the Greek connection, is buried nearby. She's buried at the monastery of Mary Magdalene, which is down the hill a bit, I think. And their olive groves also provide oil for holy oil. So some monarchs, I think traditionally, the idea would be that you would anoint them with the same oil that their predecessors were anointed with. But Charles will not be. He has chosen this oil himself. His mother was not anointed with the same oil as her father either. Her father was King George, right?
Queen, yes, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the,
yes,
oil that was in, that was used to anoint King George, Geoffrey, a vial of it was kept, presumably for her coronation. It was destroyed by a bombing raid, a German bombing raid in World War II. So she too was, she was anointed with new oil as well. Isn't that fascinating kind of trivia? Yeah, there you
fascinating
go.
Fascinating facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, fascinating.
Will he be a good king, Geoffrey?
He certainly had long enough to prepare for it, now at the age of 74. So the answer to your question is, I think he'll be very much a modern king, and he will adapt to what he faces. I'm an admirer.
Yeah, I think possibly, is there a general sense, Geoffrey, that he might not have been a good king at earlier stages in his life when he was a more unsettled, unhappy person, but that now, possibly down to Camilla as well, that he is kind of more ready for this?
I think there's an element of truth in that. I think you hit it on the nose when you said, is he more ready because of Camilla? It's partly her amazing partnership with him and love that has, I think, changed him slightly. He is twice the man because of her.
Okay. Geoffrey, before you go, I have to ask you about the Tories' disastrous showing in the local elections. I suspect you're not surprised by this, and that you wouldn't be surprised if they're not the next government.
No, I wouldn't. Though I was surprised when The professor came out this morning from Birmingham University showing, said the figures would end up with a hung parliament. I assumed, looking at those figures, the Conservative Party would be smashed into the ground. So with a year to go, it's not all over yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose the Lib Dems eating in down south, the Labour is more up north than the Lib Dems down south. That's possibly a more worrying thing for the Tories, isn't it?
Yes, the Liberals always do well in local elections. They're great pavement fighters. But you will notice that in the general election statistics, they're still only on 7%.
OK. Geoffrey Archer, always a pleasure.
No. Before you say goodbye, I want to say something. I want to say
it's about
something.
Rugby, isn't it?
I want to wish the Irish rugby team every success. I want you to beat the French in the semi-final, and I want you to win the final. It would be good for rugby and good for Ireland.
See, Geoffrey, regardless of your patriotism, you always back whoever you think will be the winner, don't you? Cute out.
No, Geoffrey, I think Geoffrey, the French are more likely to be the winner. I want Ireland.
Geoffrey,
to
you
win.
Were winning. You were winning. Leave it at that. Talk to you soon, Geoffrey.
Take care.
Okay, now we can go to the streets of London. Now, I'd say Geoffrey Archer was up in his magnificent apartment looking down on the little people. But down among the little people is Irish Times columnist and our sometimes royal roving reporter, Finn McRedmond. Good morning, Finn.
Morning, Brendan.
Where are you, and paint us the picture?
So I'm on the Albert Embankment, just along the Thames on the other side of Westminster Palace. So I can see Westminster Palace, I can see the back of Westminster Abbey, and I can see some tents on the Lord's Terrace, where I think there are some MPs who weren't invited to the coronation, perhaps watching on some screens there. So that's my view.
Is it raining?
It's pretty horrible, I'd say. It's grey, windy, drizzling, pretty archetypal London weather, I'd say.
And is that dampening the atmosphere, or how is the atmosphere on the streets?
Well, I'd say it's not dampening the atmosphere at all. I was chatting to some policeman earlier, and I said, do you think the rain has put some people off coming? And he said, no, not at all. The people who are enthusiastic enough to come in to London to see the coronation aren't going to be put off by something as frivolous as a little bit of rain. And the atmosphere is, yeah, it's good. It's lighthearted. It's anticipatory. And I'm really struck by how international it is. I'm hearing Irish accents, Portuguese, Spanish. I just walked past some foreign press, and pretty much press from every European country you can think of are here. And then I was chatting to a cameraman who's over from ABC Miami, and I asked him what he made of the whole thing, and he said something interesting to me, which was that he can't think of an American person who would bring out crowds like this. He said maybe the closest analog is Oprah.
And he
was really impressed, and he actually remarked about the weather, and he said, and you wouldn't get Americans out in weather like this for anyone, and not even Oprah. So
yeah, I think there's a subtext here that we're kind of saying that a lot of these people are mad enough to go out whatever the weather. But let's stay away from that subtext. Any sign of any dissent? Because the conversation in the run-up to it, Finn, has been a little bit that, oh, people aren't that enthusiastic about it. And, oh, you know, as Geoffrey was saying there, the young people have moved on and have no time for this nonsense anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's entirely true. I think, you know, I live in London, and, you know, half my friends are Irish and half of them are British. First of all, I'd say the Irish are as enthusiastic about the royal family as the British, which is to say no one is an active monarchist. None of my friends are camping out in St. James's Park to see the procession. But everyone's kind of like broadly in agreement that it's a pretty good thing. It's lighthearted, it's fun. A sense of occasion is always good. London does occasion and ceremony very, very well. And I think, you know, pretty much everyone I know is kind of meeting up later to chat about it, maybe have a few pints, and just kind of soak it all in. So it's easygoing.
It's a pop culture event almost, mixed up with a holiday, bank holiday weekend kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So people aren't entirely taking it that seriously, are they? Would that be the vibe among the young?
That would be the vibe. I certainly don't know anyone who is, massively enthusiastic, but everyone likes to feel part of an occasion. You know, if there's a party atmosphere in a city, it's gonna affect everyone. And that's what it's felt like for the past week, I think, because the flags have been going up along the Mall. I went down to see them the other day. There's definitely a sense that something is happening. It's quite. I'm reminded of the queue to see the Queen lying in state.
Yes. The queue was your last roving royal reporter outing for us. Yeah. Is it that same level of enthusiasm and togetherness? Because the queue was quite an extraordinary phenomenon.
Right. I think the queue was more of a national moment. I think the death of Queen Elizabeth was first of all, of course, it was more somber and it was more serious and, very, very historic. So I think that felt like a slightly bigger thing, whereas this feels like a kind of flash in the pan moment. People will remember the queue, but they might not remember where they were for the coronation.
Listen, that'll be on the poster for the film. People might not remember where they were for the coronation, but they'll remember the queue. Finn McRedmond. Okay, Finn, thanks a million for going out in the rain and doing that for us and giving us, I think that was a great insight into what the mood is over there. And I could read out a load of text saying monarchy is a relic of feudalism and should have been gone centuries ago, Kieran and Tralee, and stuff like that. I said we can't start fixing everything. Someone says you got Bruce to Kildare, can you get Sam to Mayo? No. Okay, Finn McRedmond, thank you. Let's take a break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.